Okay, Chris Archer owners, freak out or not. We'll tell you what to do. It's Thursday, April 21st. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. I'm Adam Azer. Al Melchior, are you freaking out over Chris Archer?
I kind of am.
Ooh.
I kind of am.
Chris Towers, are you freaking out over Chris Archer?
Nah.
You don't freak out over anything, Chris.
Well, it's because he isn't awake yet.
It's true.
Well, good morning, guys. How are you?
Blissful slumber.
These Western Conference NBA playoff games are a problem.
Oh, who won? Clippers?
The Clippers, yeah.
Good for them. You know, I haven't watched much basketball. I've been watching hockey. Stanley Cup playoffs much better than NBA playoffs.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers, exactly. Okay, anyway, guys, we got to talk baseball here. Big show today. We'll see if we can grade some trades that we didn't get to yesterday. We'll talk about Archer. We'll talk about Cole Hamels. Drew Pomeranz with his big strikeout game. J.J. Hoover is no longer the Cincinnati closer. Actually, Al wrote a story about prospects. We'll get to that. I also want to talk about closers in general and who you have confidence in. Let's start, though, with our email of the day at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And as soon as we're done with this. What?
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
I was about to take credit for the prospects piece, but it actually was Scott.
No, it was you. What?
Okay.
Are you sure?
It was actually me.
I read it this morning. I thought it had your little face next to it.
All right, I'm looking it up.
You're right. It is Scott White. It is Scott. Well, that doesn't mean
Come
we can't
on,
talk about
Adam.
It. And I am awake. I have no excuse. I apologize now. All right. So anyway, we'll get to that in a bit, but let's get to the email of the day. It's from Greg. He said, So far this week in my 5x5 head-to-head league, I've left 5 runs, 2 home runs, and 3 RBIs sitting on my bench, and the week is only half over. So he wants to know what we consider when we make our weekly lineups. You know, you can even talk about daily lineups. Not FanDuel, but just, you know, daily leagues. What do you consider? He mentions BVP, batter versus pitcher, aciness of opposing pitcher, hitter's performance over the past 7 days, ballparks, home away. What goes into your lineup decisions, guys?
Not nearly that much. Although I feel like I'm far from mastering the 5x5 head-to-head format. I take some of those things into account, but basically I try to put the best lineup, in my lineup, the best players in my lineup that I have available. And, you know, when it gets to the fringier types, then I look at, number of games that they play, who the matchups are, you know, the opposing pitchers. I look at venues, things like that, lefty righty splits, but that's really more for the bottom third to half of my roster talent wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like hitters are so prone to fluctuation on any given week that you could have this really robust process that still gets it wrong just because there's so much weekly fluctuation with them that I think at some point you do just kind of have to go with your best players, barring a situation where you have like one guy playing 5 games, the other guy playing 7.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you should have a pretty set hierarchy.
Yeah, and you got to be so far into the season before you even consider benching Mike Trout or, you know, somebody who... You're never benching Mike Trout. Before you consider benching somebody you'd take in, like, the top 4 rounds. Like, let's say J.D. Martinez is really cold or something, which happens. You're probably not sitting him. But, I mean, it's got to be a long, prolonged slump before I even consider sitting studs.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, Heath's advice for DFS of trust the process applies here too. And it's hard to do. It's hard to maintain that discipline because you are going to have a lot of weeks where the guys that you bench are just because of the small sample. They're going to have a great week and you're going to wish you played them, but you shouldn't have.
Happens all the time. Now, we talk about not sitting your studs. I'm going to give you some names. You tell me, are they still studs? Chris Archer, 7.32 ERA. 11 walks, 29 strikeouts, 6 home runs allowed in 19 and two-thirds. The strikeouts are great. He has not pitched more than 5 1/3 in any of his 4 starts. So doing some reading, Archer says that the problem is his slider. His slider has not been good. And we know that his slider is, when it's good, it's one of the best pitches in baseball. His manager, Kevin Cash, says that Archer's command on his fastball isn't good, and he's falling behind in the count a lot. his velocity is also down a little bit. Now, I tweeted last night that I am going to make a ton of Chris Archer buy low offers. I don't have him on any team. I would be happy to have him on all six of my teams. But you tell me, am I wrong? Should I be cautious here? What's your take on Chris Archer?
I mean, if you can get him at a deep discount, obviously, that potential, that the great skill set is still there somewhere. But yeah, the slider's not been good at all. Jason Collette did some tweeting earlier this morning about Archer and his slider since last August. And in that time, you know, what, a month and a half, roughly a month and a half since then, a negative 5.9 pitch value on the slider, which is obviously very poor, a 494 slugging against it, and a 292 average. So it's really, really a bad pitch for him right now. And it seems like something that he has the skill to fix, but until it's fixed, I'd be really hesitant to start him.
Chris?
I have so much trouble with this because it really is just four starts. It's hard for me to look at Chris Archer. Well, I know you're talking about the going back to last August. I always struggle with the like last 10 start with a 6 month gap between them. You know, like that. That's I'm never sure how much that matters, and I'm not saying it doesn't. It's just like that extended layoff can kind of derail any momentum that you may or may not have built. So it's hard for me to say exactly how much I put into it. But the fact that it is continuing a trend is certainly a concern. Batters are hitting 317 with a 268 ISO against the slider, which is really bad. They're also hitting 350 with a 275 ISO against the fastball. He's just been bad so far this season. But he's so talented. The stuff is still there. He's still getting swinging strikes on the slider at a really high rate. I would definitely try to buy low on him.
Okay, I'll throw out some names for Chris Archer. Would you give up Danny Salazar for Chris Archer?
Nope.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a lateral move.
Would you give up Carlos Martinez for Chris Archer?
Same deal. Nope.
Yeah.
I think I would
that. Value Martinez and Salazar pretty similarly.
All right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I just feel like you're going to... okay, that's fine. I understand the hesitancy. Would you give up Vince Velasquez for Chris Archer?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Would you give up... Yasiel Puig. Would you trade Yasiel Puig for Chris Archer?
Depends on how my team looks.
Yeah,
like in all the leagues where I have Yasiel Puig, I also drafted a bunch of other really good outfielders, so I might if my pitching was suspect.
Okay, so let's move on. Zach Greinke, Madison Bumgarner, still studs. They went head to head last night. They both pitched great. Greinke and Bumgarner, are we cool with them?
I'm cool with them. Yes, yeah. still studs. And I guess I can look it up real quick, but it seems like Bumgarner's generally a slow starter.
I looked up his spring stats before the season, and they've been bad, I think, each of the last 3 years. Like, I think he had like a 10 ERA two springs ago, 11 this spring. So that was a reason why I wasn't too concerned about him coming in. The first few starts I was just because of the foot thing. But the fact that he's been getting a lot of strikeouts, the fact that he was good last night at home helps. I think Madison Bumgarner's pretty awesome, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
and the splits are interesting because last year Bumgarner had a 194 ERA at home and a 415 ERA on the road, and so far two great home starts, two really bad road starts. So I don't know if that's going to continue. I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. He had a great season, but he is benefiting from his ballpark.
I mean, AT&T Park is a fantastic place to pitch too. That's not super surprising that he would have good splits there.
Okay, now Cole Hamels, is he back to being a stud? 6 2/3, 5 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Kind of weird that Hamels. He also hit 2 batters in the game. He's got 11 walks in 25 innings. Career walk rate 2.3/9. He's not a walks guy, but right now 4 walks/9. But Hamels so far is off to a 3-0 start with Texas, 2.52 ERA. Is he back to being a stud, an ace?
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, a low-end one. Right. But I do think the move to the AL is going to knock him down just a shave, but yeah, no, he's low end ace.
And
No simpatico today. Chris Towers. My bad. I was going to go to Giancarlo Stanton, but you want to talk about Hamels? Go for it.
Well, it's just it's interesting to me with Cole Hamels how he's becoming seemingly more of a swing and miss guy as he ages. He was one of the best swing and miss pitchers in baseball last season. He's been very good this season as well. And I wonder if the walk rate is sort of a result of that he's throwing fewer pitches inside of the zone. And it might be leading to both of those things increasing.
And finally, Giancarlo Stanton. Any concerns, or is Giancarlo Stanton still a stud? No, you guys are not concerned. He's still a stud. Great. Let's move on. Tweet of the day. Tweet of the day is from Matt Gleason. Now, yesterday on our show, we mentioned that Neil Walker hasn't walked. So we were going to call him No Walker until Neil Walker drew his first walk. But Matt Gleason says, how could you not see Nil Walker?
I think that's the second guitarist for the E Street Band.
Really?
It's Nils Lofgren.
Nils Lofgren. Just a little E Street Band humor for you guys.
Yeah, look, there is no podcast that has better E Street Band humor than this one. I will say that. But Nil Walker is a very good name. And Walker had another good game. 4 hits for Nil Walker, but no walks.
And you know which other Walker had no walks?
Taiwan. Made in Taiwan. Outstanding game for him. Him and Salazar went back and forth. Taiwan Walker or Vince Velasquez, what do you got?
I got Walker.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a longer stretch of strong play from Walker.
How about, would you trade Walker for Chris Archer?
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
Good. Good for you. Plate discipline of the day as we move from Nil Walker to a guy who has no strikeouts, but 6 walks so far in 15 at bats, and he's off to a nice start. Yasmani Grandal. He has not had an at bat against a lefty this season, but only 15 at bats this year. Grandal got a late start. So far, .400 batting average, 3 RBI, 3 doubles, and again, 6 walks to no strikeouts for Grandal. Not a guy that you're picking up, but I know, Al, you had him as a potential breakout this year, and so far so good. Do you think he will play more this year? I know Mattingly was a little inconsistent with his lineups. Do you think Grandal will play more frequently this year?
I would guess not, just because A.J. Ellis is going to – I think he'll eat into Grandal's playing time at roughly the same rate that he did last year, but I still think, there's a lot of catchers that are in that situation. So this is just really encouraging to see from Grandal coming fresh off the DL and hitting right away.
I've seen 2 catchers in one of my 12-team leagues get dropped, Devin Mesoraco and Travis Darno.
I'm going Darno there. I mean, well, Darno, you got to pick up, but I'm very worried about Mesoraco.
Well, yeah, I did pick up Darno.
We've seen one good season. You know, that's the biggest thing for me is that one season is really starting to look like the outlier.
Well, I think because of health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think fantasy owners should look to buy low on Mesoraco?
Well, picking up off of waivers is an extreme buy low for sure.
Well, okay, yeah, but assuming you can't do that.
But, well, I mean, I think that I kind of, making the point from an extreme position that I'm not even really that interested in picking up Mesoraco off of waivers. I mean, certainly if there's somebody of Darno's caliber out there. But even if there's not, even if Mesoraco's, say, the best catcher on waivers, the chances are that my starting catcher, my number one catcher is, somebody that I don't want to bump for him, maybe it is a number 2 catcher.
So, Al, let's talk about that prospect story you wrote.
Sure.
Under the
I might
pseudonym.
Be a little fuzzy on the details, but go ahead.
Your pseudonym, Scott White. Who are we stashing? So, Jeff Locke was horrible yesterday. Does that mean the Pirates might call up a stud pitching prospect? Tyler Glasnow.
Jameson Taillon, which makes it tricky because which one do you stash?
Right. I was going to mention, what about Jameson Taillon?
I would imagine Glasnow is still above him in the organizational hierarchy just because Taillon made his first start in 2 years last week. Isn't that since 2013? So
yep.
You'd imagine they would want to give him some time to pitch in the relatively low intensity of the minors as he comes back from multiple injuries before throwing him out there in the majors.
Well, which prospects are you stashing?
Well, I'm stashing Orlando Arcia in several leagues, and Glasnow is definitely somebody to stash. Actually, I do think either Glasnow or Tyone are worth stashing. Nick Williams of the Phillies, they're obviously going to need some outfield help sooner than later, and I think Williams will be ready. So he's somebody I'm stashing.
Yeah, I feel like the Phillies are going to be a team that looks dramatically different in July and August than they do right now, because they have a handful of big hitting prospects. J.P. Crawford. Who's the catcher?
Alfaro. They've got two, actually. Alfaro. There's also Knapp.
They're a team that because they're so bad, I think any of those guys is worth stashing. Just because there's not really many roadblocks there.
Excuse me, Chris Towers, but the Phillies are like almost 500, okay?
I'm sure they are. I am absolutely certain that is correct.
Yeah, they are 7-9. They are in playoff contention right now.
I believe you are not lying.
In fact, they're only like a game and a half out of the playoffs if they started today, so...
That would be one of the shortest seasons on record.
All right.
Did you mention Crawford? I'm sorry, Chris. Yeah. You did. Okay. My bad.
Yeah. Giolito, obviously people were stashing him. What about AJ Reed? Tyler White hit another home run yesterday.
I don't know where Reed plays, but maybe, and I said this to Scott, and this is just absolute 100% speculation on my part, but maybe the Astros getting Gattis back to catching is a way to free up the DH spot for Reed.
Okay.
Because otherwise I'm not really sure where he plays. Reed's a great stash. Yeah.
Anyone else?
The A's pitcher who we still haven't decided how to pronounce.
Oh, Sean Manaea. It's Manaea. It's Manaea.
Okay. He's a great stash. I think he'll be up really soon.
Trey Turner, Blake Snell.
I don't know where Lewis Brinson plays, because we're not even really sure where Nomar Mazara plays once Chu is back. But
the Rangers have too many guys.
It's crazy. Joey Gallo.
The Rangers need to start making trades, because they still have, Jerks and Profar still at AAA, right? Like that team has way too much young talent.
Oh, too much young talent these days. You're right. They should like the Red Sox didn't trade their young talent for a pitcher last year and it cost them. The Rangers probably should make a trade. All right, let's move on. The big news. We have a story on our website on cbssports.com/MLB. Jonah Carey wrote a story on Corey Kluber looking at the peripherals. A word I have trouble pronouncing. I had to slow down before I said peripherals. And good story on Corey Kluber and whether or not you should be worried. Read it. CBSSports.com. The Pirates faced their first lefty yesterday, and he did great against them, and that was Drew Pomeranz. But Gregory Polanco sat. John Jaso sat. Francisco Cervelli played first base and stayed in the lineup. Jordy Mercer led off. Polanco, by the way, 0 for 5 against lefties this season. And in 2014 and 15, Polanco hit 171 and 190 against lefties. Now, Al, you caught a little, I don't know about heat, but you got called out in like the first week of the season. People were going crazy. They love Gregory Polanco. He's the best. Well, he sits against a lefty. Doesn't mean he will all year, but so far can't hit him. And he hasn't really hit for any power since the first week. He's walking a ton, which is great. But, you have been the low man on Polanco. Not to say you don't like him, just lower than others. Let's talk about him. What do you think?
Well, I think that this is a good thing to point out, because the numbers, I think, are probably a bit inflated right now because the Pirates haven't faced lefties. So I think what you can look forward to rest of season is probably going to be something less than what the stat line looks like right now, because either he's going to sit and lose counting stats, or he's going to play and, see his ratio stats decline. So that's a part of it, but it's also the other thing that you pointed out too, that I want to see power from Polanco for more than a week or even two. Mm-hmm. It just, that was not a huge part of his game, even as a prospect. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't, they weren't head turning numbers either.
Okay. Would you guys rather have Gregory Polanco or?
I'd like to see him run more. Only two stolen bases with how often he's getting on base. That seems low.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nobody's stealing except for Altuve. He's got Polanco has as many steals as Billy Hamilton. Would you rather have Gregory Polanco or Michael Conforto?
Polanco.
Yeah, I'd rather Polanco.
Really? Okay. Would you rather Polanco or Christian Yelich?
Yelich.
All right. So, more news. Xander Bogaerts left yesterday's game with left quad tightness. Bogaerts is day-to-day. This is bad news. Maybe this is why Heath didn't come to the show today. Tyson Ross is going to have an MRI on his shoulder. So hold your breath, and let's hope Tyson Ross's shoulder is okay. His brother, Joe Ross, left after two innings with a blister and thinks he might miss just one start. Should Giolito owners be perking up here, their ears perking up, just in case?
Nah, I don't think so. I think so.
Maybe, what, three more bad starts from Tanner Roark might be?
Oh, there you go. Hopefully not three. Roberto Osuna was unavailable. He has that cracked fingernail. He pitched and he got the save on Tuesday, but he was unavailable yesterday. And J.J. Hoover is no longer the Reds' closer, which will bring us into our closer section of today's show. But I saw in one of our Roto leagues, both Cotham and Cingrani got picked up. Who would you guys pick up right now, Cotham or Cingrani? And Cingrani struggled yesterday.
Yeah, I target Cotham. In fact, I tried to, but didn't win him. Because the betting on him was pretty robust. I think maybe actually I was done a favor because it could just be a committee situation where nobody really steps forward. I'm not really that high on any of these candidates.
Okay. So if you do need a closer, though, you could look for Cotham and Cingrani. Saves could be scarce depending on the league size. Now, all right, the closer confidence. And I'm going to ask you about particular closers. You're going to tell me how much confidence you have in them to keep the job. Keep the job and perform, which I guess is kind of goes hand in hand. Steve Cishek, two saves and two chances so far, 1.29 ERA, one walk, seven strikeouts, and seven innings. Steve Cishek, 0 to 10 on the we can do the trust-o-meter. How much do you trust Steve Cishek to keep that job?
Seven for me, as opposed to probably like a 3 2 weeks ago. He's just been really good.
Yeah, I would probably go closer to like a 5 just because I'm not I know he's been good so far this season, but he was pretty bad last year. I mean, I know the ERA was good with the Cardinals, but the way he got to that ERA was really not pretty.
Coming up, by the way, we will talk about Pomeranz and Jordan Zimmermann. Salta Lamacchia had another good game. I got a couple of players in deeper leagues that are hitting well right now that you might want to target, so we'll get to that in a moment. Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod, gave up two home runs and still got the save. How about that? But he had five straight scoreless innings before struggling yesterday. K-Rod, how much do you trust Francisco Rodriguez on the trust-o-meter, 0 to 10?
I'm going to give him a 5, but I'd say probably at least two of those points are earned by the fact that there's not a clear successor to him. So yeah. I think K-Rod's going to have a pretty long leash.
Yep.
Fernando Rodney. In San Diego.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who literally lost his job less than a year ago. So it can't be that high. It's probably 3.
Yeah, I'll say 4.
Genmar Gomez in Philadelphia with the 7-9 Philadelphia Phillies.
I'll go 3 on Gomez. That's also not a great situation to speculate on anybody, but it's just Gomez's long-term track record doesn't really say closer to me. He's been fine so far, but it just doesn't take a lot to imagine that he could hit a really bad stretch and lose the job.
Yeah, that's fair.
Brad Ziegler, 4 saves and 4 chances, 1 earned run this season in Arizona. Brad Ziegler.
8.
Yeah, I was going to say 7.
And he's not, a popular closer because of the lack of strikeouts, yeah. But he gets it done.
What's kind of weird is it seems like Daniel Hudson is the clear setup guy, even though it was Clippard yesterday, and Clippard's been awesome. Hudson, let's say Ziegler gets hurt. Who would you guys pick up? Would it be Hudson or Clippard?
I think Hudson.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I guess right now it'd be Hudson, but that's one I'd have to watch closely and look at the usage pattern. And by the way, I would just say last year when Cishek got traded, I was on the, very spacious Brian Morris bandwagon, because there's nobody else on it.
Yeah.
Because of how he was being used versus Ramos. And, of course, the Marlins actually went with the more skilled guy. So
You know, look, just picking the eighth inning guy doesn't always work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Sean Tolleson, 5 saves and 6 chances, 1 earned run in 6 appearances since he allowed those 5 earned runs on April 6th, and he got the save last night. Sean Tolleson, 0-10.
5?
4. Too many good options there.
I was just saying 3 to continue the 5-4-3.
You like the count.
All right, so not that much confidence in Sean Tolleson. Dyson's been really good. And Ryan Madsen. Now, Doolittle got the save last night, his 2nd save of the season. I don't know. I tried to find something in the papers, and I couldn't. But Madsen had pitched in 3 of his previous 4 games, so maybe he was unavailable. Doesn't matter who pitches against the Yankees these days. They all do well. Because the Yankees are the worst team in baseball history, and I hate their guts. But how much faith do you have in Ryan Madsen to keep that job, be their closer?
I'll give both Madsen and Doolittle a 3. Because it just seems like they're going kind of new school and not
just playing matchups and
yeah.
That sounds about right. I'm not sure. They're both probably worth owning, but you're probably in trouble if they're one of your 2 best closers.
So who to stash then? Who's next in line? You know, predict the future. Who's the next Caleb Cotham or Tony Cingrani?
Could be Brandon Maurer, because, again, I don't trust Rodney very much. He's one I would certainly put out there. My preseason pick of Sean Kelly is not looking good because Papelbon's been really good.
Yeah, but Kelly's been...
Yeah.
So you were right in that regard. Kelly's been really good so far.
Yeah, I'd say Maurer.
All right. Anyone else? I think Chapman will be a closer soon.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good track record.
It's crazy, though, like... You know, I would be a little hesitant to trade for Chapman just because Miller has been so good that I know that they're going to give Chapman the job when he comes back. But if the suspension and the layoff affects him negatively in any way, you know, they could easily just say, all right, listen, we're going to move you to the 7th or the 8th. I don't think it'll happen, but he's got the best, probably the best setup man in baseball. The two best setup men in baseball are 2 of the best.
You could argue they have like 3 of the 5 best relievers in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have the 3 best strikeout relievers in baseball. Yeah.
And you know who they don't have in that bullpen is David Phelps. And I would actually add him to a short list of guys that I would target in deeper leagues as a potential closer later on, just because Ramos is struggling. Velocity's down. Control's not there yet. I'm not that worried about him. But again, if we're just speculating, I think Phelps is probably one of the better guys to take a chance on.
The Marlins have a really, really just untalented bullpen right now.
Yeah.
So David Phelps might actually be like one of the 2 or 3 best pitchers out there for them.
Hey, do you know who has a better record than the Marlins?
Everybody?
A handful of teams.
Yeah, but specifically, though, the Phillies, who are 7-9, and the Marlins are 4-9.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's true. Can you believe the Astros are 5-10, my World Series pick?
Yeah, oh. I can believe it.
I truly cannot believe it. I think the standings are lying to me. Meanwhile,
it's probably true.
It is probably true. You know, I sometimes am like haunted by things that I don't say on the podcast. I feel like I let the listeners down by not bringing it up. And I just think back to the preseason, and maybe I didn't bring this up. I don't think I did. But Hector Rondon, I feel like he was kind of low in the rankings at closer relative to how good he is, just because Joe Maddon is his manager. But
and there was that weird stretch where like Hector Rondon had 1 bad outing and they started like it was really like literally 1 bad outing. I think he had like a couple of, it wasn't even like a huge meltdown, and for like a week and a half they just didn't really use him.
Well, what do you think, though? It seems clear that right now he is their closer, and Joe Maddon has a designated closer and he goes to Rondon. And does that make him, you know, a top 5 closer?
Nah. Maybe top 10, because I will admit that I downgraded him a little bit because of Maddon being the manager. But, you know, there's just so many guys. I mean, you just mentioned just the Yankees, you know, bullpen alone, that, you know, so many guys out there who can strike, you know, 12 plus batters per 9. And Rondon, I don't think is going to be that guy.
Yeah, but how many closers can strike out? Like, unfortunately, for
David
Yankees,
Robertson, Zach Britton, I think those were both guys that were very underrated.
Cody Allen. They were, yeah.
Cody Allen is another one.
But you know, saves are the driving factor behind where closers finish, and I think Rondon has a chance. I feel like he hasn't had that many, but...
He only has three. He's only pitched in four games.
Yeah, it's very strange.
That's almost part of the issue with him. They're kind of last year's Blue Jays-esque.
I don't buy that.
They're going to win a lot of blowouts. I totally buy that.
But they're not scoring runs right now.
Yeah, nobody's hitting, but imagine when everybody starts hitting. Rizzo's heating up, had a good game yesterday.
I mean, look, if Anthony Rizzo hits 190 for the rest of the season, sure. I agree. They won't blow that many people out.
Oh, you know what? Can I talk about somebody I'm a little concerned about here?
You're the host.
Wait, you guys okay with this?
Oh, go ahead.
Addison Russell.
I had the same thought.
Because Baez is going to get enough at bats, and you know it's not always going to be Russell. Could be Zobrist, could be Bryant, could be Bryant. They move Bryant to left field and sit Soler. I get it, but things aren't going so great for Addison Russell right now, and that's kind of a bummer.
He's such a weird player. I can't figure him out. Do we have any idea if he can hit lefties at all? He was pretty good at it in the minors, but he's been awful. He has no hits against lefties so far this season. I think he's got a sub 600 OPS, like a 512 OPS against lefties in his career. But it's only 133 plate appearances, so who knows what that means, but it's extremely odd.
Hmm. Yeah, that is weird. And he's right-handed, which is even weirder.
Yeah, well, that's what caught me, is that he was good against them in the minors. He's a righty. You wouldn't expect him to have these kind of issues.
Okay, well. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's just, in a way, this roster crunch the Cubs have is really poorly timed for Addison Russell, because the thing that I was really concerned about with him coming into the season was his contact rate, and it's much better this year so far.
I feel like Addison is a very popular baby name.
I don't think I've ever met an Addison.
Maybe Madison. Maybe I'm thinking of Madison.
I've never met Addison Reed or Addison Russell.
You know what?
I've never met an Addison.
You don't have kids. Do you have like niece or nephew?
Yeah.
How old are they?
Like 7 months.
Right. When you start, you know, going to their birthday parties and meeting their friends, and they all have these like different names, you're going to meet a lot of Addisons, Chris Towers.
I mean, my family's Hispanic. I don't know if we'll meet that many Addisons.
Oh, they only hang out with Hispanic people?
I don't know. I don't know who my 7-month-old niece is going to hang out with.
Well, I hope she opens her horizons. Okay. Anyway, let's tell you about FanDuel. I hope you're playing as much fantasy baseball as you can handle, and I hope you're playing fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. Daily fantasy, no season-long commitment. Contests start at $1, a new way to play fantasy, a different type of challenge. It's so much fun. We absolutely love daily fantasy, and we love playing on FanDuel.com. It's easy, doesn't take much time, and you'll find yourself caring more about your FanDuel teams than your seasonal teams. That's what's so great about it. You get really into FanDuel. So start playing today. You've got an opportunity to really get a free roll here. A special offer for new users. You sign up, enter your first league, and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel is going to automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. I think by now you should know our promo code. It's HOMERUN. The promo code, again, is one word, no spaces, HOMERUN. Enter that, and you get a chance to win a cash prize or get a refund up to $10 for additional play on FanDuel.com. Don't even try the other sites. FanDuel is the best in the daily fantasy space. All right, Wednesday standouts. I'll kick it off with Drew Pomeranz. He's 42% owned. Good thing I didn't drop him for Robbie Ray. 6 2/3, 4 hits, an unearned run, 3 walks, and 10 strikeouts against the Pirates. He walks, guys, that's for sure. But he's off to a nice start. 2.04 ERA and 25 strikeouts and 17 2/3. Is Pomeranz underowned at 42%?
I think a little bit. He should be pretty much universally owned in head-to-head leagues.
Yeah.
Right, because he's RP eligible.
That is right, yeah. And I've been a little slow to come around to Pomeranz. I feel like he's faked us out a bunch of times before, but I don't recall him ever being quite this good.
Would you rather have Jay Happ or Drew Pomeranz?
I would still rather have Happ. I want to look at my points rankings and see if I've got Pomeranz ahead of Happ. Because
don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Just
Roto for sure. I'd rather have Happ.
Chris.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I always struggle with situations like that because early in the season I do just kind of want to chase upside. But I'm not sure Drew Pomeranz has like that much upside.
You just turned him into a prom king by calling him Drew Pomeranz.
Pomeranz.
I also think early. Chase Upside would be a pretty cool name. You know, like a fantasy team name or something. All right, other standouts. The floor is yours, guys. Who do you got?
Well, you know, Pomeranz, I think, was the guy. I thought it was kind of a boring night. Pomeranz was far and away the big story there. But yeah, let's talk about Michael Saunders because he seems to be doing pretty well in the leadoff spot for the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. And if you're hitting it all in that spot, I think you got a chance to score a whole lot of runs.
Yes, that was one of the two deep league targets. He's 15%. Oh, he's 19% owned. Ben Paulson is 15% owned. And Paulson is 4 for 11 with a home run and two doubles in his last three games. Saunders has six doubles this season, obviously in a great spot. And he's just taken that leadoff job and done well. Who are you more interested in, Saunders or Paulson?
Well, definitely Saunders. I like his playing time situation a little better. I like his batting order situation a lot better. I think the only area where Paulson might really have an edge is in terms of home runs, and I'm not even totally convinced of that.
Okay, Chris, how about a standout from you, Chris Towers?
Domingo Santana, as Heath called him on our DF Live podcast yesterday, because he predicted correctly that Domingo Santana would go deep yesterday. I think he's having a really fascinating season. This is a guy who's had a lot of trouble making contact in his career, and that hasn't been much of an issue this season, actually.
Now, I have a question, more important than Domingo Santana. On your Daily Fantasy Live podcast, you do a daily segment where you try to guess who's going to hit a home run.
Uh-huh.
And you call it Dong Chasers.
Yeah.
How did that name come about? It's pretty interesting.
I believe that is a remnant of the Daily Fantasy Live video show. I don't think there was a Dong Chaser segment, but they would refer to home runs as dongs. It's a good name for a home run.
Right.
I think
that's the difference though between a podcast and a video show. Like, you guys can have a segment called Dong Chasers on the podcast.
It's a little more fun. It's a nice onomatopoeic word for a home run. You know, that's when you hit a home, it goes dong.
I understand that home runs are called dongs. I just think, you know, Dong Chaser.
No, Al.
I feel like you're trying to drive at something here.
Adam, people sometimes refer to home runs as homers, dingers, and we're just using dongs. I don't see what's so hard to understand about this.
Hey, all the dongs you can handle on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. Now,
yeah, Domingo Santana has the ninth lowest swing rate in baseball. He is being extremely selective, and he has cut his strikeout rate to 22% on the season. He's always been a pretty good walk guy. He's up to about 15% there. He's I do wonder if he's sacrificing a little power because he's only got two home runs so far to be more selective, but I think the results are pretty good so far.
He's no Nil Walker.
He is no Nil Walker. He has actually walked.
Did you know Adam has the song?
I sang it earlier this week.
Yes, you did.
So, Michael Saunders or Domingo Santana?
Santana,
for sure.
I hyped the wrong guy.
Jordan Zimmermann, OMG. No earned runs in three starts, six walks, 15 strikeouts, and 19 and a third. Struck out eight Royals yesterday. You don't do that very often. Sell high or keep Jordan Zimmermann?
Yeah, enjoy the ride. I think he's back.
Damn it. This was my bus. This was like the one guy on my bus list. If not him, it was probably...
It's not even a list.
You know, you should probably go with more than one.
Well, okay, fine. If
just
I had two...
Like
if I had
theory.
No. If I had two, it would have been Jordan Zimmermann and Noah Syndergaard. So, off to a great start. Yeah. Okay,
maybe,
fine.
Maybe keep that latter one to yourself.
No, that one's out there. I didn't call him a bust. He was on my do not draft list, which I guess is the same thing. Jared Saltalamacchia had another good game. My goodness.
Yeah.
He is streaky.
Yes, he is. And Chris Sale only struck out three, which gives him 26 strikeouts in 30 innings, but he's, you know, 4-0, 180 ERA, three walks to 26 strikeouts, and another really great start for him against the Angels.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was up with the three strikeouts. Didn't watch the game. But I can't imagine that that's going to be a problem for Sale.
Yeah.
All right, any other big-time standouts or shout? No, let's move on, okay? Every day. Every day I put together like 5 pages of notes, and every day we get to like 2.5. So we're going to get to the rest of this. Here are more injuries, news, and notes.
Wait, hold on.
No. Unless this is about popular baby names, I don't want to hear it. Danny Valencia left with a hamstring strain. Valencia says it's mild. Scooter Gennett sat against a lefty. Jake Lamb sat against a lefty, and Brandon Drury played third base and batted second for the Diamondbacks.
Hey, Adam, you should check out my new Twitter avatar. It's Jake Lamb inspired.
Okay, will do. Angelton Simmons moved up in the batting order for the horrible Angels lineup. He's now batting second right in front of Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. Is that interesting to you, Angelton Simmons batting second?
I wish it were. But other than that one season where he hit 17 home runs, I mean, he just really hasn't shown much offensively, and he's not been an on-base guy, so that makes hitting him second kind of curious.
Well,
he's a good contact hitter.
They have the worst lineup in the world.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter, probably.
Yeah. So, Jason Worth, not going to play today, but he says he's fine after leaving last night's game with hamstring tightness. Aledmys Diaz was back in the St. Louis lineup. He went 1-for-3 with a strikeout against the Cubs. Adonis Garcia only able to pinch hit last night due to a knee contusion. And Corey Spangenberg, or as my phone likes to call him, Corey Spa Jeanette, is on the DL. Spangenberg is on the DL. San Diego called up Jamile Weeks. So that means both Weeks brothers are in the majors right now, huh?
Yeah, been a while since we've seen that.
And the Padres have the lesser Weeks and Uptons.
The weaker Weeks.
Exactly.
Four up.
I think there's a new song here. Aledmys Adonis. I don't know how the rest goes.
Aledmys Adonis. Corey Spangenburnus. Four up. Four up. Three down. I'm going to say some guys who are kind of doing well. Matt Holliday, he's only batting .231, but he has three home runs and five doubles, so that's cool. Chris Carter is a top five first baseman. So is Tyler White. You know what? Why don't we separate this into outfielders and first baseman? First baseman. Chris Carter, 44% owned. Tyler White, almost universally owned. Both top five first basemen. Is anything really standing out to you with Carter and White?
It's hard to know with White because, I mean, he's still less than 3 weeks into his major league career. So, you know, just I've tried to sell him high, and I think everybody else is kind of skeptical too. So,
it doesn't help that they have a better young option at first base.
Right.
Or presumably better.
Right. That might be part of people's skepticism to invest in Tyler White.
And what about Carter?
Chris Carter, we've seen him go nuts for a month or two at a shot, so I'm still skeptical with him as well.
He has stretches like this all the time.
Well, but this isn't like one of those stretches. He's been fairly consistent. I don't know about that actually.
He can have a good 3 week stretch.
Yeah,
he's still striking out a ton. He hits for power. This is what Chris Carter does. When he runs into them, it'll look okay.
Okay, and then how about the outfielders, Matt Holliday and Carlos Beltran? Holliday is about 90% owned and hitting for power, which is a departure from what we saw last year and the year before. Meanwhile,
yeah,
go ahead. No, go ahead on Holliday. We'll come back to
that. I was just going to say, I'd kind of written him off and now looking pretty silly for doing that because he's making last season look like an aberration and you know he wasn't healthy for a lot of it. So the low batting average is kind of hard to figure out, but you figure that's going to definitely rise.
Yeah, but Al, even if you discount last season, you go back to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Holliday, he hit 20 home runs in 156 games. He slugged .441. I don't really want that from an outfielder who doesn't steal any bases, unless it's an OBP league where Holliday excels. Like, I still don't think, unless you're really buying what he's doing in the first 2.5 weeks, I don't know. I'm not excited.
I wouldn't say I'm excited, but having completely written him off, not even thought about drafting him in any leagues, he'd be better than I'm sure some of the people I did draft.
Chris, on the I'm so excited on the Jesse Spano excitement o-meter, where are you on Carlos Beltran, who is only 60% owned and really having a very good season so far, continuing a great second half from last year?
I'm not so scared. I am the second of the three I'm so excited.
Okay.
Did you think I would take that meter as literally as I did?
Yes, I did. I knew you'd okay. come through. Al, do you have any idea what we're talking about right now?
Of course not.
Okay. Say by the bell. But Beltran, is he under own right now? It's 60%. Last year he had an 877 OPS after the All-Star break. And this year he's even healthier than he was last season, and he's batting .327 with four home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's under own. I mean, you worry about playing time, you worry about injuries with him, but you know, when he's healthy, I think it makes a lot of sense to own him.
Would you rather own in a points league where, you know, it's not categorical, DeLino to Shields or Beltran?
I think I'd rather have Beltran right now.
Yeah, I'd rather have DeShields.
How about this one? Jay Bruce or Beltran? Bruce having a good year.
Bruce.
Yeah, I'll go Bruce.
All right, three down. Any worries about either Kyle Seager or Miguel Cabrera? One home run so far this year, and he is, not hitting for a lot of power after getting 18
home runs. Maybe that's why Heath's not here.
I'm glad he's not here.
Celebrating Miguel Cabrera being bad.
Yeah. Seager or Cabrera, any concerns?
Not with Seager. He's just been the definition of consistency. I have to admit, I've got a little Heath voice in my head.
Oh, that is bad for you.
Yeah.
Just a little Heath voice trolling you in your head?
Pretty much. Pretty much. He's gotten to me.
Well, I don't think he's going to hit for more power at this age, Al.
See, I don't even need the Heath voice internalized. You're doing a great job of externalizing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's at the age where you could buy a drop-off. I'm not panicking yet. Again, it's just a little glimmers of doubt that I didn't even really have before.
Well,
yeah, with Seager, it mostly looks to be BABIP-related. He has a 139 BABIP. He's not, like, striking out at a super alarming rate. He's still hitting for okay power. I feel like he'll turn it around.
Okay.
He's had a bunch of games against lefties also.
You know, here's an interesting player. Chris Davis. Actually, Miguel
Which
Cabrera.
One?
Over under 25 home runs.
I will still take the over.
I mean, he's got to hit, 24 in 135 games or something?
How about 24 in 23 weeks?
That doesn't sound like too much. I think I'll take the over.
Miggy can do that.
Yeah. 30 home runs.
Probably push under.
All right. So over. Around 30.
Yeah.
Now here's an interesting player. Chris Davis with a K. Chris Towers. Chris Davis with a K is 71% owned. He's been so bad. 174, homerless, 2 walks, 20 strikeouts. But you know there's going to be a streak in there somewhere, and you don't want to be the guy who dropped him, and then Chris Davis has a month where he's one of the best hitters, one of the best outfielders in baseball, because he's totally capable of doing that for a stretch. What do you do with Chris Davis right now with a K?
Yeah, I agree. You don't drop him. You bench him. Can't play him right now.
I mean, do you really have to hold on to someone that has I'm assuming Fangraphs is not lying to me.
Well, first of all, you know I'm talking about 5 outfielder league because he has no business in a 3 outfielder league to start with.
This doesn't seem real. He has a 29% swinging strike rate. That's insane. That is nuts. That is the second highest rate in baseball is Eddie Rosario at 20%.
Whoa.
Like, that's broken. Like, that is some kind of glitch.
Wait, swinging strike rate is what exactly?
Percentage of pitches at which he has swung and missed.
Okay. That makes sense.
His rate of contact on pitches that he swings at is 48%.
I wasn't sure for the record if it was percentage of pitches or percentage of strikes.
Yeah, it's percentage of pitches. 48% is percent of pitches he swung at. It's really bad right now.
All right, I'm just saying, like, if he gets even a little bit hot and he's sitting out there on waivers, I know Chris Davis isn't that great, but he could go on a tear. So just keep it in mind. Okay, anything to say about any of these six pitchers? Tywan Walker, Danny Salazar, Garrett Richards, Ian Kennedy, Raisel Iglesias, or Julio Teheran?
The one thing I do want to look up, Al, if you have anything to say, I'm going to look up Garrett Richards' velocity because that's been a thing that I've been keeping an eye on this season.
Oh, he threw like a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to end like the seventh inning or something like that, or the sixth inning, I guess. He threw 118 pitches yesterday.
His velocity, he threw 118 pitches and was consistently above 96 throughout the entire start. There was... He hit 98 on his 105th pitch of the outing, it looks like, was sitting 97, 96 through his last few pitches.
Yeah, I don't think there's a... I had some worries, actually, about the strikeout rate for Richards, and it's not... I'm not necessarily sold just because of the velocity, i.e. Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been getting the strikeouts so far. So, and the control is something that... is a problem that's popped up from time to time, but I think he's had enough consistency there that I think Richards is going to be fine. Kennedy, I don't know what to make of him yet. I mean, this is just a case of somebody where, you know, we waited and waited and waited for him to replicate that one season he had with the Diamondbacks. What was that, 2011? I mean, it was a long time ago. Maybe he's still got that in him, but so many years of disappointments. I just can't buy it yet.
Raisel Iglesias, is he breaking out right before our eyes?
I think so, if you want to call it that. I mean, this is sort of, it started last summer.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really stopped.
Well, Raisel Iglesias or Tywan Walker, who would you rather own?
I would rather own Walker. I think he has more upside. I do think part of my... I really do like Raisel Iglesias. I think he's a good pitcher. I think he's a fun pitcher to watch, which is always a good thing to have on your fantasy team. But it's potentially unfair of me, but I do think there's a little bit of like he's getting away with being a really difficult pitcher to pick up for hitters. And that can sustain itself, but he doesn't have like super great stuff. And someone like Alex Wood is a good example of how badly that can turn.
You talk about Iglesias?
Yes.
I mean, I think he has pretty good stuff. He is not like a flamethrower, but weird that he, you know, you don't see pitchers empty the kitchen sink the first time through the order the way he does. You know, they come out. Go ahead.
And he throws, you know, he's got four or five different pitches, but he also throws all those pitches in different ways. He'll change his arm slot.
Right.
He'll take something off the different pitches.
Trickery.
Yeah. And so I maybe just have an inherent bias against guys who are relying more on deception than skill.
We are a very honest person.
Exactly. How can you trust people who are dishonest?
Most popular baby names, by the way. Let's see. What is this? Kind of a stupid website.
This is riveting podcasting.
Emma, Olivia, Sophia, Isabella, Ava, Mia, Emily, Abigail, Madison, and Charlotte. Okay.
My wife and I have talked about Isabella. We've talked about that as a girl's name we like.
I wonder if the Madison is skewed by Western North Carolina, where there was, you know, Madison Bumgarner dated a Madison Bumgarner in high school.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know about that.
What?
Madison Bumgarner dated a girl
named
Madison Bumgarner because he's from a part of North Carolina where there's Bumgarners everywhere.
What?
You didn't know that either?
No.
This whole thing is news to me. I had no idea there was a high concentration of Bumgarners anywhere in the world.
Well, now you know.
Did I just say the word seriously, by the way?
You might have.
Because I think my phone, I think Siri just like went off. I know Siri just went off and I didn't touch my phone. And I think she heard me say, I'm going to try, seriously, Siri. No, she's not doing anything. I don't know how it works.
I don't think she just like listens.
No, I think on the new iPhone, like you can say like, oh, let me try it. Hey, Siri, what is Chris Towers' phone number? Oh, it's working. It's working.
She's going to say it and everyone's going to hear it.
I'm terrified.
I don't understand. What is Chris Towers? All right. Anyway, fringy starting pitchers. Rank these four. They're all two-star pitchers for next week. Rick Porcello, Jimmy Nelson, Ross Stripling, Drew Pomeranz.
All right, so this is rest of season, because at least with Jimmy Nelson, you got to know what the matchups are.
Yeah, rest of season.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jimmy Nelson, if he's got a team with a lot of lefties coming up, he's pretty useless. Stripling, I get that we have to be interested in him because of the results so far, but I'm not so sure that what he's doing is sustainable.
I will go, because I still have a little bit of distrust in Drew Pomeranz, I'm going to go, and this is going to sound wacky to a lot of people, Porcello. And I know people are going to say, well, what's Rick Porcello done?
Yeah.
But
Porcello's having a good year. 4.66 ERA does not tell the story.
Yeah.
Three walks, 24 strikeouts. He's faced Toronto twice and Tampa Bay last night.
I'm going to give him a little bit of an edge over Pomeranz for right now, then go Nelson and Stripling last.
Heath and I had some very vocal disagreements about Rick Porcello in the office in the offseason. I just don't think he's very good. I get that the peripherals always say he should be good, but I feel like at some point that's just a lie.
I'm in your corner, but he has pitched well so far this year.
And the weird thing is what's weird about him is he's pitching like a completely different pitcher this season, and I think that started in the second half of last season where he's getting a lot more strikeouts.
Yeah.
The ground ball rate has moved in the other direction over the last couple of seasons. It was 45.7% last season, 42.9% through three starts.
But I think it rebounded during that late season. In fact, I know it rebounded during that late season stretch last year where he just started using the sinker more and getting a lot more movement on it. Now, one of the reasons I have a little bit of hesitation with Porcello so far this year is that he hasn't really recovered the vertical movement on the sinker that seemed to make him so effective down the stretch last year. But like Adam said, I mean, the peripherals are really solid for him. So
the strikeout rate, it's a mirage. It's fake. He has an 8.2 swing strike rate. That's identical to what he had last season.
Well, what's the called strike rate? Because late last season, that was how he achieved a lot of it.
Duh.
It's probably pretty high because he only has a 39% swing percentage against him. Opposing batters just aren't swinging very often. I don't think that's sustainable, but maybe it will be. Porcello's good.
I miss Don Orsillo on those Red Sox broadcasts. Now he's on the Padres broadcast. He's the best. He's amazing. If you watch a lot of baseball, Mets broadcast team, the premier broadcast team, just overall play-by-play and the two-color analysts, they're incredible. Good job, Mets guys.
Called strike log for Porcello so far this year. 22, 24, 22. That is very, very good.
Okay. Ooh.
Take that. And is Kendall Graveman under-owned at 14%?
A little bit, yeah.
He's got two starts next week. Let's grade some trades to finish things off. We only got a few minutes left, guys. Let's go quickly. Josh in Baltimore, grade the trade. Give up Aaron Sanchez. Get Francisco Lindor.
I mean, I'm guessing you picked up Aaron Sanchez early in the season, and he's just kind of an extra piece.
I'll give that B-.
Yeah, C+. I don't love the value for it, but I get it.
Greg in Houston. Give. All right, here we go. 10-team head-to-head points league, by the way. Give Bogarts, Nomar Mazara, and Carlos Martinez. Get Starlin Castro, George Springer, and Dallas Keuchel. I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
I do, too. That is a B.
Yeah, B+.
Will from New York, head-to-head categories league. Give up Altuve and Gerard Dyson. Get Jose Abreu and Corey Kluber.
Oh my goodness.
That's such a weird one because I think you're getting the better side, but it is also you're almost certainly punting steals at that point, right?
Yeah.
A-.
B.
Georgie from Bulgaria, 12-team head-to-head points league. No minus points for strikeouts, for hitters, I guess. Okay, I can offer the Trout owner, who is a Red Sox fan, Hanley Ramirez and Chris Bryant. Would you give up Hanley Ramirez and Chris Bryant for Mike Trout, and his third baseman would be Tyler White, Jake Lamb, or Jung Ho Kang at that point? So grade that trade. Give up Hanley and Chris Bryant to get Mike Trout.
Also an A-.
Yeah, although I will say, if Twitter is any indication, being a Red Sox fan will not actually endear him to Hanley Ramirez.
All right, well, that brings us to this last email. And we'll see if I can find it. Where are you, email? Siri, where is this last email? Okay, here we go. This is from John S. This trade has been proposed in my non-keeper head-to-head league, causing a huge controversy. Owner A trades away Cespedes, Familia, and Marcus Semien. Cespedes, Familia, and Semien. Owner B sends Jorge Soler, Hector Rondon, and Addison Russell. So this one guy is acquiring Soler, Rondon, and Addison Russell, and giving up Cespedes, Familia, and Semien. Owner A already has many Cubs, and he says he wants to conduct an experiment by fielding a team all from the same ball club and insists that the trade won't hurt his team. I think it should be vetoed as blatantly unfair. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I don't take the veto lightly, but that is a horrible trade.
Yeah, I mean, the center sounds kind of like a... I don't know, like, why are you doing this?
It's not that bad of a trade. Like, Rondon and Familia are fairly even.
I think that's pretty close to a...
I don't even see how you justify
it. It's Cespedes and Semien for Soler and Russell. You're upgrading at shortstop, in theory. You're taking a huge downgrade in the outfield. It's a bad trade.
And I'm not sure you're upgrading.
I'm not sure you're up. You're necessarily...
Oh, come on. We can't be thinking that at this point.
I do have Russell ranked higher, but, you know, we've all admitted. I mean, we have worries about his job security.
What is... Once again, Marcus Semien stinks. He hasn't done anything since that two-homer game or whatever it was.
Semien's fine.
Semien's fine based on what?
At least Marcus Semien has a 217 game.
Oh, you can't get upset about batting average.
He hasn't stolen a base yet. I mean,
you're not going to draft him for steals. Maybe you get 10 steals.
I just don't understand this Marcus Semien thing. Like, I own him because you guys say his upside. I trust you.
He's shown more than Addison Russell.
No, I disagree.
No, he absolutely has.
Maybe this year he's having a better year, not last year.
Why not?
Because he was terrible.
Addison Russell wasn't like... I like Addison Russell's skill set. I love the potential he has based on his minor league track record, but he hasn't actually shown that much in the majors.
No,
he
I
struck
agree.
Out a ton. He hit .242. He had 13 homers and 4 steals.
He Marcus had like a Semien, month where he hit for a lot of power.
Yeah, Marcus Semien had 15 homers, 11 steals, and he hit for a bad batting average. I think Marcus Semien has showed more in the majors.
He played more.
Sure, that
okay.
All right.
Look,
well,
I'm not going to argue that.
You know what? I'm going to settle.
Russell's
this.
Not an upgrade.
No, I'm.
But I mean, it's a pretty marginal upgrade, and it's like you said, it's a huge downgrade.
Yeah. This
oh, outfield.
All right.
This is a bad trade. The owner seems like he's not taking things seriously.
I'm going to settle this right now. Siri, who is better, Addison Russell or Marcus Semien?
She's going to say like Matt Damon or something.
I think I need to say more like Siri. Hey, Siri, come on. All right. She's ignoring me. She's ignoring me. That's it for the show today. Thanks, guys. I'm Melker, Chris Towers. I'm Adam Azer. See you later.